Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Hey, Misty, here's a little best of from today's show.
Kenkel Fritz and Friends with you. You're having a difficult time getting going in the morning. We have for you science-backed ways to feel more awake in the morning. Ooh.
All right.
Tell me.
I guess the key is feel. I don't know if that means you are more awake.
Fake it till you make it.
Suggestion number one, get active. Not necessarily a strenuous workout, but maybe walk the dog or just a quick, you know, morning stroll will help out.
I feel like swinging my legs over the side of the bed is...
Is that your activity?
That's activity in the morning, yep.
Swinging? Well, if you can swing your legs that when you wake up, I don't swing my legs. It kind of...
Maybe poor choice of words.
Yeah, I like that, though. She's swinging her legs. Music helps you when you're getting going, having your breakfast or whatever.
And we have that.
That would be Family Life Radio, yeah.
Yes.
They say to get some sun exposure.
Ooh, amen.
Just 5 to 30 minutes of that can help your circadian rhythm go, oh, hey, it's daytime. Mm-hmm. It's time to be awake, not sleeping. Make sure you wake up at a regular time, even on your days off. I think that's probably person by person on that.
I
don't, and I don't have a problem. I sleep in on the weekends.
If I don't have to get up at 3:30, not good.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-uh. Making sure that you have something to eat. Kind of tells your stomach and the rest of your brain, hey, it's time to start the day. And then have a glass of water to rehydrate after sleeping. When I wake up in the morning, guys, I am so thirsty.
Oh.
Yes.
My husband has such a dry mouth, he can hardly talk. I'm like, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me, but it's like I wake up and I'm like, my tongue is like leather. So what works for you? I'd love to hear from you. 888-888-9976. You can text us at 58326. Maybe you deal with anxiety and depression. Let me ask you a question. How do you deal with that? It's Kenkel Fritz and Friends with you on Family Life Radio. Courtney is with us. You say you've dealt with that. Now, there's something you've done and it's worked. What is it?
Writing your thoughts down. I call it thought distortion because the enemy is really good at distorting our thoughts.
So, sort of like journaling, it helps with your anxiety.
Yes, because then you don't feel so attached to your thoughts. It's putting it down on paper and you're seeing your thoughts, but then you feel like that separation, like you know you aren't your thoughts and think, I am not like what I'm thinking. And then I also go and exercise.
I've heard exercise helps, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting statement. You are not always your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And your thoughts aren't always technically yours. Mm-hmm. That's a wow.
We believe it.
The act of writing it down can separate you from that. I've never heard that before.
That is interesting.
Huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me to just visually see what I've written there would impact me pretty deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would cause you to question, do I really think that or do I really believe that? Maybe I don't.
Good point.
Yeah.
That goes to that verse. If you think about whatever is true, noble, praiseworthy, all of those things, if it's true, if it doesn't line up with the truth of what God is saying, then you know it's a lie.
A lot of intrusive thoughts do not line up with what God is saying. That is true. Well, Courtney, good stuff. Wow.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you. You too. And thank you for everything you guys do. I love you guys. Of course.
Do a little road trip this summer or maybe traveling in the sky? How do you do that with kids and keep your sanity? It's Kenkel Fritz and Friends with you on Family Life Radio. I'm going to give you a tip that I think is brilliant because my mom enacted it when I was a kid.
Oh.
Go to the library before you head out.
Ooh.
Stack up on a bunch of kids' books.
I guess my only concern would be losing them along the way. If it wasn't actually my property.
Oh, well, then you buy one. Then you've bought the book, I guess.
I guess so.
No, I thought you were going to say, take them to the library, let them climb up the shelves and run around.
And everything. Leave them there and then go on your trip?
Oh, my goodness. I've heard of parents that are boarding a plane with a baby handing out little care package type things. It's like little baggies with candy, some cheap earphones, and a note saying, you know, please be patient. This is... you know, we're trying to get through this flight with our baby just like you. Show us a little bit of grace.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I heard George Clooney did something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he gave everybody in first class. I thought it was the whole plane, but it turned out it was first class.
In first class. Well, of course it was first class.
Noise-canceling headphones with a little note that says, please excuse our twins.
That's funny.
Nice.
The other idea is this. Wrap up little gifts for the kids. Mm-hmm. And if they were good that day, they get to open it.
Well, that's fun.
So you're holding this reward over them.
It's like an advent calendar for the well-behaved.
Well, yeah. Open up the store.
Yep.
See what you've got.
That's a good
reality.
Idea.
Yeah.
For growing up, you know, you do well, you'll get paid more.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
In theory.
If you've made it through most of that day, or I don't know, sometimes, I don't know, that's the thing, it's tempting. It's like, gosh, I just need to give this kid something to entertain themselves. But I guess you'd have to resist the risk to just give it to them, you know? Yeah.
Just to make everything stop for
exactly.
a second.
Exactly. to pacify something.
Be quiet for 20 seconds.
All right. Do you have any tips? We'd love to hear yours. 888-888-9976. You can text us at 58326. Debbie is with us. We're talking about road trips with kids and ways to make this a better experience for you and for them. And what do you got for us?
So I've always been all my life, I've always been a big road trip person, but I just recently, 2 months ago, got done with a big road trip. I drove 7,500 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, I drove from Georgia to Oregon, did the southern route, and then I came back Oregon through the Midwest and dropped down to Florida. But on the way back from Oregon, I had my daughter and her two little ones, 9 months old and 2.5.
That is a long time in the car with little ones. Wow.
I know. Everybody thought I was crazy, but oh my gosh, we had the best time. And I will tell you what I learned. I don't know if it's the grandma in me, but we weren't in a hurry for one, but we stopped at every truck stop. We stopped every time I saw one, regardless if we truly needed gas, just to get especially the little guy out of the car to run around and look at something else.
Well, I think you started out with you weren't in a hurry. That helps, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then every night we got into a hotel room, I would take the two-year-olds and we'd go find ice and drinks. And I just let him flat out run the hallways. Just run.
There you
go.
So
you have to be quiet, but you can run as fast as
exactly.
you want.
Exactly. Yeah. So he could run the hallways as long as he wasn't going, down the hallway.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but your perspective helps so much because growing up, my dad's perspective is in the car, we're getting there.
Yeah. You're right, Sally.
You
my
hold
dad,
it,
too.
You wait.
We're going.
That's very true. And that's why I said in the beginning, it could be the grandma in me because as a young mother, I was like, really? What are you thinking? You know, dealing with my own kids. My children's favorite thing to tell their children is, the woman you know as grandma is not the woman I know as mom.
Experience Hope.
Family Life Radio.
Kenkel Fritz and friends with you. Good morning.
If you find yourself in the fight of your life, you are going through it right now. And of course, I think the typical human response is, why? Why is this happening to me? Here's the thing. When God looks at you, He knows everything about you, everything. What if when He's allowing obstacles to block your path, when He's allowing that storm, when He's allowing that circumstance, is because He understands that who you are in Him is so much bigger than what you're facing? Ooh. I mean, He knows your capabilities and your heart. He knows that your relationship with Him, that's the key to getting through anything that this world could try to throw at you. And this could be how He's showing you all of those things that He already knows about you, that you don't know about yourself yet. Because really, to allow you to be in this fight that you're facing, that's to allow you to be on the level of who you really are. Like, what a confidence booster is that? If you're in a big fight, that means you're a big warrior.
Mm.
God knows that about you. And so now you just have to know that about you.
Wow. Well, You know, the bottom line is this, regardless of whether God's allowing something or not, Jesus said that in this life you will have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
A lot.
Yeah. And we all know this, that this place is not our home. We're just passing through.
Yeah.
Which really does help me, by the way. Whatever you're going through isn't permanent. And things are subject to change. So that encourages me. But I think that what you're getting at, Misty, is that all what God is really about is a relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those things can drive us to Him, or it can make you bitter and run from Him.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can say is run to Him.
Yeah.
Don't go the other way.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's where your strength is found.
Amen.
Right.
It's good stuff.
You're stronger than you know, and relying on the Lord rather than yourself
Absolutely.
Can be the key to the turn. And I think that's why Paul was able to call it light and momentary affliction. I'm reminded of that. Everything is passing.
You know, that's encouraging, Sally, from a guy that was in prison.
Yeah. Chained,
beaten.
Forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So just reminding
light
yourself,
momentary.
It's light and momentary. May not feel that way, but that's the truth. Yeah, it's good.
Uh-huh.
It's time for the good news of the day. Hey, we got to hear your good news. 888-888-9976 is our number. Cecilia's with us. Tell us what's going on.
So I'm 102 days sober today.
Hey.
I have a part-time job. I'm in a program. I was Thai for about 2 years. I'm happy. I'm fine. My husband recently went into the hospital. He's detoxing, going to rehab also. We've been separated for 4 months and barely about to be married a year, September 1st. So God is most definitely working in my life. I'm very blessed today. I have a whole AA family, church family, two of them. Sisters through Christ that help me every day, and I couldn't have done it without God, that's for sure. So He's repairing my marriage slowly, and I'm very happy today, and by the grace of God, I'm saved.
Wow. Well, that's quite the story.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing.
I've never heard such a quite concise retelling of everything. That's amazing. Wow.
It's very different, and when you surrender and drop to your knees, there's nothing He won't fix, and I have faith in Him all the way, and whatever happens from here, I'm just ready.
Oh, wow.
What a beautiful place to be.
Feels great.
I'll bet. Wow. Hey, we'd love to hear your good news. What is God doing in your life? Call us right now, 888-888-9976. Hey, good morning. We're Kenkel Fritz and friends. You know, maybe you feel like an ordinary person, but God has a knack of using ordinary people to accomplish His extraordinary purposes. And we have with us Jonathan Murphy. He's the pastor, author, professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's written the book called Authentic Influencer, The Barnabas Way of Shaping Lives for Jesus.
There are things that will stand between us and our cult influence, things that maybe we believe that are wrong. How do we get around them? How do we cut through all of that to be influencers?
I think the first pitfall is really ourselves. We have perhaps drifted into adopting a view of the good life that is not necessarily God's view of the good life. And so it's very self-centered, maybe narcissistic oriented. And I think that we need to begin to look at life beyond what we get out of it. And this is where Barnabas, I think, molds it so beautifully. In a world that says get, he says, no, there's a better way to live life. It's give. It's pour yourself into other people. And that requires some, I think, in the company of the Spirit of God, some reflection about what you want out of life and what your heart's going to pursue in life. And I believe that if you genuinely want to do that God meets you there and helps you get past yourself. So I think step one is getting past yourself and living for other people, which is very Christ-like. I think I would add to that I think we need better role models. This is really at the core of the book, that I want to live past myself for the purposes of the glory of God through people around me. Well, who's going to help me do that? Who can I look to show me a practical way of doing that? And I think for many people like Paul and Peter are a little bit out of reach, right? Moses, David, Paul, Peter, it's like, I can't be that. I mean, that's huge. But somebody like Barnabas, an ordinary part-time farmer, part-time mailman, part-time preacher, part-time missionary, he's accessible. He can show me a practical way forward. So I would say get past yourself and God graciously will help you with that. And then begin to copy, literally copy those role models that he's put before us of influence that are very Christ-like. And Barnabas is one of many, but he is certainly a significant one that books about.
Really good interview. Make sure you check out the full interview on our podcast.
Experience Hope.
Family Life Radio.
Maybe you deal with clutter in your house. Super easy way to get back on track. It's a 5-a-day declutter method. The way this works is you throw away 5 items every day. Toiletries, clothes, unused household items, books, shoes. May not necessarily throw away, but maybe donate to, you know, if they're worthy of donating. And it's fine, you know, hard to find an excuse not to spend just a few minutes every day to do this. Just think, just 5, you could do that, 5 things?
Oh, totally.
You got to be able to find 5.
That's like 10, 15 minutes at most of your day.
Right.
At most, I think it would go quicker than that, probably.
I mean, you might have a little bit of internal fighting.
I was just going to say, that's once you've made the decision.
Exactly, Sally. You're like, oh, should I throw this away or not? But what if I need it down the road?
Exactly.
That's where the fight is.
I will say, my husband and I spent a few years living in a really tiny place once we had relocated. It was the only place we could find because we had a lot of dogs at the time. And most people were like, no. So we found this place, had no room. I mean, we're talking 500 square feet. It was like house living. And we had to stick a good chunk of our stuff in storage. And then when we moved into a bigger place, it was like, this stuff has been in storage
and
now.
And you didn't need it then.
I didn't even miss it. Like, let's not even unpack these. Let's just...
That's smart.
Yeah. I actually, because my husband is less attached to things than me, I was like, if it's worth donating, put it in a donate pile, but don't let me see it, because that's when I'm going to start.
Because then you're going to...
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, maybe it'll help if there's somebody in your house that can actually get it done.
Yeah.
And you trust them.
So, step number one, put all your stuff in storage. It's time for that joy report.
I've got joy. So I'm gonna let this feeling take control. Joy.
We have Christy with us here on Kinkle Fritz and Friends, our joy report. Hey, you said today is a special day?
Just want to share that today I turned 46, and that puts me at 11 years past breast cancer.
Oh, first
thank
of all,
you, Lord.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
And second of all, amazing. So he healed you.
Yes, he did.
Tell me about the journey.
Just before I turned 35, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and I had 2 little kids at home. So I was really freaked out that they may possibly lose me and not know me when they grow up. And I was already a Christian, but through the breast cancer process, I just met a lot of really great people at the cancer center, and more importantly, learned to trust God and put my faith in Him.
Sometimes that's what it takes, is walking a journey like you're describing, where we kind of realize, well, Lord, this is where the rubber meets the road, as they say. It's just you and me, Lord, walking through this trial.
Well, he taught me to trust him more, and he also lifted me out of depression, which was something I was battling before I had the cancer. And now, luckily, I have a much better grip on all of that. I've just been really blessed to get to 46.
I can imagine. Happy birthday. Aww. You know what? You should have a second piece of cake today.
What joy. Hey, thanks for sharing your happy day with us.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
We'd love it if you shared your joy with us. 888-888-9976.
If you've ever had a puppy, maybe you understand what's going on in the Kinkle Fritz household. We got a new tiny little puppy. It's a Havanese, which it's a small dog anyway. It's not going to get real big.
He's so cute.
Here's the problem, guys.
Adorable.
He follows you wherever you go. And so I'm in the kitchen doing something, and I'll accidentally kick him.
Oh, no.
No.
Or step on.
No.
Little Biscuit.
I know.
Poor baby Biscuit.
Yeah, that, by the way, if you didn't know, we've named this thing Biscuit. He's just adorable. Cute little dog. And so Becky got a little collar with a bell on it.
Okay, that's good.
You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Did she put it on you?
No. Yeah, right.
I was about to say, we might want that around the office.
Sally,
to keep
you should have
in.
Saved that punchline to the end. So she puts this bell on the dog, and he took a step and stops.
Oh, no.
took another step, just stopped. So when you put this bell on this dog, he doesn't go anywhere. Because he's like, every time I go, I take a step, there's a ringing.
What is that?
Exactly. He doesn't go anywhere with the bell on.
Okay, that's funny.
I know, and I feel bad for him. I don't know what to do.
Oh my goodness.
It's either I kick the dog or he doesn't go anywhere.
Okay, okay. Do you want to feel even worse than you already do?
Well, no, of course.
I read this awful thing that was talking about how dogs don't understand accidents. So when you like get up in the middle of the night and trip over him, they think you got up just to kick him.
Oh, no!
So Biscuit's like, why is he so mean?
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to learn more about The Morning Show or to get in touch with us, head over to myflr.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.